real sick. Now, when you got back to Chatham, you were given the job of messenger. Could you tell us about that? What exactly were you doing?
Well, I look round, because when you're in Chatham, you're being picked on all the time for different jobs and that. So a chap was going on draft to a ship, and he said to me, my job's going down in the drill shed. So I whipped down there quick, and the petty officer was there. I said, oh, there's a messenger job's going. So I don't know, you know, he knew I knew, but he said, yes, like for the vicar. So I was sent behind the drill hole where the CFA vicar was, and I sat in there, and I was his little messenger. I didn't have to do much, but you hear stories from the listening to the women coming in about their husbands had left them and to another woman and all. It was very interesting. And I got away with all the duties over there. And not only that, I got hold of the cars that people were going on draft, that I had all the colours of the watches there, like red, blue, yellow. So I was off every night, because you could be walking across the barracks square and someone would come up to you and say, are you Red Watch? And give you a job to do, you know, anything, you know, that was coming up. But I say, no, I'm Blue Watch, I'm off. So I got very, well, after a few years you get like that, you know. I did do one job for them. I went to Banstead. Then a march down at Banstead, and they wanted all the three badgemen and gunnery. And having, you know, the gold badge and about, they wanted to put you in a march through the town for the war effort, like. I didn't mind doing that one. That was the only one I got caught for. Other than that, I was just going down to the drill hole each day to see if my name was up for ships.
Now, when would that be? How long were you at Chatham?
Oh, no. I've got no dates here. It's in my other books, so I'll give you times and dates.
It's not in here. In
it's going to be 44, isn't it?
45, probably.
45, yeah. No, it will be 45. That's the last turnout.
It's before the war finished, though, isn't
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, what ship were you going to?
Well, I looked up on the board and I found my name was up for the Sussex, which was in harbour at the time at Chatham. She was at Chatham at the time. I took all my gear on board and then we left Chatham Dockyard, we left for Gibraltar.
What were your first impressions of the ship? It was a heavy cruiser.
Oh, it was a massive ship, 10,000 tonnes. I think after war, I was still getting used to it. I didn't know a lot of places on there. It is a massive ship when you're on there. And not only that, when you're given your jobs like on the ship, I didn't come to that, but I was still gunnery. I was all gunnery. So I was gun cleaning and all of that sort of thing. I didn't sort of have much to do with the other half of the ship.
Now, what was your cruising station on there?
Cruising station, I was on the Orlicans. I was on Orlicans all the time through the war. Orlicans all the time.
That was your crew. What about your action station?
Action station, Orlicans.
So both of them were?
Oh, yeah.
Were they the same gun you were on for cruising and action?
Oh, yeah. No, different one. I had a twin for cruising, a twin Orlican.
Where was that?
That was on the starboard side. 0.05, yeah. Number three Orlican. That was a twin. They're automatic. You're sitting there like a pilot, you know, with a joystick. Have you seen one of them, maybe? Oh, yeah, it's about the width of this room. Your two guns, you get it sitting like this. Your two guns are at the side here, like that. And you've got a joystick like that. You're it's down off a column. Whichever way you want to go, or up, down, the guns just, I was very, it was good.
Did you like that?
Oh, yeah, I like that. But my gun, my action gun, was on top of the 8-inch guns.
On top of the turret?
On top of the turret.
And which turret was it?
B turret. They took guns off the Devonshire, I think, because they blew the men off into the water when they fired. But they put guardrails on the Sussex, so whenever they had a shoot, I used to tie myself to the mountain and pray as we went over the side and came back, you know, with the when you're on an 8-inch gun when they fire.
What was it like when they fired?
Terrible. I used to come off with no eyebrows and half my hair missing because, you know, your asbestos helmet, like, didn't cover, like, the top of your head. So I had no eyebrows, and all the heat and fire come back on you, you know, when they fire. Terrible. Wish you'd never been up there, really.
And the noise?
Well, we had our ear plugs in, but it didn't do us a lot of good. But I could never understand why we were closed up when they had a shoot. I mean, we weren't going to do anything. You'd shoot for 8-inch. You'd think they were, you know, the captain or the gunnery officer would sort of have us off the guns. Oh, they just I used to tie myself around with everything so I could hold on tight.
What about the new sights you had?
I didn't go much on them.
Can you explain what they were?
Well, they were gyro sights put on the guns.
The Oerlikons?
Yeah, I was always used to the 300 knot. You know, 100, 200, 300 knot. Where you get the plane going towards the centre and you judge their speed yourself. But gyro, I found with gyro, I never come out. In fact, when we was attacked, I never used it. I used my, what do they call it? I'm all over the place now. I had one and two, one and three. Incendiary, you know.
The tracer round?
Tracer, yeah.
So you aim
with tracer. Because when you swung up, it's all right, the ship was far away. Okay, you can get a sort of good reading on the gyro. So you have a little cross. And then you had the ship going towards the centre of that cross, and it should be on. But I say to this day, they were never any good. Because if a ship came down so quick, the cross had a... Before you thought it came up, the plane was gone. I could never understand. It's all right with a ship coming in towards you, yeah. Okay, the gyro put you right on, but when the ship was to dive down on like a stuka, you get a stuka come down to a straight line out and away, you could never keep up with it. Anyway, that's what I thought of the gyros. I didn't go much on them at all.
What was your mess like?
Very good. Of course, quite a few on the Sussex, you know, there's all their men on board. But we had a good mess. We had a good leading seaman. I was rum bosun and all that sort of thing on it.
What did that mean, being rum bosun?
I collected a rum at 11 o'clock. Up spirits at 11 o'clock. I collected a rum and dished it out.
How did you dish it out?
Fiddly. They're supposed to get a top of rum, see? Well, when you go into the Navy on any ship, you're given your rum kettle and a measure with a handle on. My first job on any of them, on the ships I was on, I knocked the handle off. So when you pour the rum, so in total to come to the top, I had two fingers in it. You see what happens when you put two fingers in? And you take the fingers out, it goes down. So every rum, I had an extra. That was mine. And if you've got, say, 20 on your best deck, you're very happy. I never worried about dinner. Most of the dinners I had on the Saturdays was soup, bread and soup. I was happy enough to go up on my gun without, because I had enough rum inside me to shoot at anything. That was...
And what about the food on the ship? I know you said you didn't bother, but what was it like? Was it
food were pretty good. I'm not sure how the food was good. I used to put my dinner out amongst the ODs. They could have me dinner out. They should have me dinner out. Spud here, spud there. I didn't worry. Oh, no, the food wasn't too bad. We had a good cook one there. In fact, we still pat him on the back when we see him at reunions because he used to make a nice Manchester tart, as we called it. A really smashing bloke, yeah.
And was it a happy ship?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What made it happy? Was it the officers or the men? Or?
Well, we all worked together. It was a happy ship. I mean, I didn't know half of the people on the ship because it's so big. And you didn't come into contact with half of them, you know. And, I mean, right, so all the time I was on the Sussex, I doubt what I knew, so of the men on the Sussex. I didn't, you know, contact with what I was most up on the forecastle. And just come into contact with them. I mean, I did go up a couple of times to see them on the 4-inch guns and that, but other than that, I never went on them. On any of them guns. I mean, I could have been called for the 18, for the pom-poms, because there were 8 guns so on there, you know. I could have been gone as a gun layer or a trainer on any of them, but I was kept on this.
Did you have any ammunition duties on this one, you know, magazine duties? Or?
No, we looked after our own magazines on each gun, you know.
Where would you store it?
It's stored at the side of the gun on the rails. There were so many pans of ammunition on there ready. I mean, we never got my up on an 8-inch gun. I could see my loader going down and carrying them up.
Now, what about where you went? You joined there in 45.
Right, no.
So yeah. You went to Gibraltar.
Yeah, we left off to Gib, old ship and supplies, and then off to Malta. We went into dock for a bottom to be scraped. And after that, we went out for a practice shoot outside the harbour. And this little story is a plane came out but couldn't get the sleeve out. It got caught up on the drum. We cruised up and down. The skipper was doing his head because he wanted to get back into the gym. Eventually, the plane streamed the sleeve. It came over the port side for a run. The chief gunner's mate stood behind me. I opened fire first, and in 10 shells, I knocked the sleeve down. This is, you know, true. I'm saying 10, it might have been 12, but, you know, it was a small amount. So that none of the guns could open fire. The skipper, going up and down for ages, he ordered the gunnery officer to... shoot rockets out for the side of the ship so all the other guns could have, you know, to have a shoot. The gunner was a real chap for me. He patted me on the back, pointed to the bridge, and the skipper had a long face, but the gunnery officer was beaming because I recommend for that. The skipper was in no too pleased. He ordered the rockets to be fired. After that, back to Malta. Where's shore leave?
What was it like, shore leave in Malta?
Well, you couldn't do a lot, just walk around. I mean, there's places, you know, that most of the sailors ended up down the gut, they call it. You know, and there's all the bars down there. And the first one to put the name of the ship over the bar, they had that ship in. So they had lookouts only up on the ramparts there. And whoever got that ship first, they get the big ships if they can, to get up on their bark, like a battleship would have all the battle wagon in there, like the Nelson would have all their people in there. But I used to go right down the bottom to a little Army and Navy bar, very hungry little bar down there.
And where next after Malta?
We left Malta, we arrived at Port Said, and then proceeded through the Suez Canal.
What was that like? Because it's a big ship we were on.
Yeah. Well, going through, I mean, in them days, only one ship could park, go at once, you know, at one time. There was two lakes in Suez, so any ship coming the other way would have to go into the lake and wait until the other big ship came through before she could go back, you know. Oh, no, she's very tight. And a bit of a sandstorm going at the time.
What was that like?
Oh, sand everywhere, you got in everywhere, in your food and in your guns and that. We had to clean everything afterwards once you were through. And as far as I can remember, we went from the Suez Canal, Red Sea, we ended up in Mombasa. And off to Colombo was all the Trincomalee to pick up escorts and two destroyers and three minesweepers.
What was Trincomalee like? Because
you've got that was a naval, our naval depot at Trincomalee. It's just an island, you know, in there with old ships in.
I believe you liked it ashore there.
Oh yeah, well, you couldn't do a lot ashore, but it's a nice scenery, like sort of thing, you know. To walk, we used to chase the monkeys and knock the king coconuts down for them and that, you know, and. There's not a lot to do on there at all, on Trincomalee. So once we picked the escorts up...
Now, what? There was a gun accident there that you...
Can you tell
us about that? Because that was at Trincomalee.
Yeah, that was at Trincomalee, yeah. Oh, yeah, I was watching the monkeys at the time. I was up on a twin, and I was stripping it to clean it all down. And I just took the barrel out of one of the guns, laid it on the top, and I thought, because on the twins you have a motor, and it's round the away from the gun, so you've got to come out from the gun and round to the motor. All of a sudden, I thought I heard the motor rev up, make a noise. Right away, I thought, oh. It ran short of oil, as I thought, you know. So I went to make a move round towards it, and the gun mounting shook. What had happened, the chap that had been on it before hadn't put the cockpit levers more or less dead centre. And so it sort of, by me starting that motor up, it shuddered. And the next minute I'm standing there with a white face. Over went the gun barrel over the ship's side. Now, as you know, it's a big ship. It's high up. And this is a ghost troop. The men were out on the the causeway there. They were going down into the whaler and into the cutter for practice. They were going out like for a sail or row. And I don't think there was a foot of water between the two boats. And as I looked over, I see my gun disappear. I mean, it could have killed anybody, the way that gun from up there.
It's a big, quite a big thing.
It was a long gun barrel, yeah. And she went straight down, plop, right between the two boats. Because they're all looking up, wondering what's happening, and I'm looking down at them. Where's my gun? It had gone. Oh, yeah, I was put on chart. Well, I was told the officer, gunnery officer, a very quiet bloke he was. I told him, he said, well, report it to the jaunty, you know. I went round and reported to him. He said, you're on the commander's report in the morning.
Is this a gunnery commander or the executive commander?
No, this is a jaunty, chief petty officer. He does all the He was a nasty one.
No, I mean the commander.
Oh, the commander, he was second to the captain, like, you know, he's Jimmy. He's a Jimmy. First lieutenant. Anyway, next morning I'm on the quarter deck, shaking in my boots, thinking of a court martial and everything. And while the skipper, the commander's reading the out, I thought, oh, that's my luck. I was shrinking. I was really shaking. Oh, I'm going to get a shot or court martial or something. But as luck had it, the OA at the time, that's the audience officer, he told me there was no spares. No spares on board, and there was no spares ashore. But in between time of my going onto the quarter deck, he had been down in the magazines down below, and he had found a spare. Because he spoke up for me and said that they had got a spare. So I didn't get a court martial.
Were you punished or just reprimanded?
I was given, yeah, 7 days leave, 7 days pay. 7 days, number 11, I think it was. No, I was lucky on that. I had a good record, darling.
Now, what happened next? This force was being put together at Trincomalee. They set off for
Penang.
Penang.
Yeah, Phuket Island, Penang, yeah.
What was happening?
Well, we were sent there to protect the minesweepers. We'd taken, I think it was 3 or 4 minesweepers with us. They were clearing the path down the straits of Sumatra. And we started off there, going backwards and forwards with destroyers, giving them a covering escort, covering a backup sort of thing. The second day we was there, alarm was sounded, action stations, and 2 Jap suicide planes appeared from the land. One came down low on the starboard side. The starboard guns shot it down, hit the water, the bomb went off, a thick black smoke went up, and the plane blew into the ship's side, buckling the plates on the Marine's mess deck. It was a pretty big bomb. The cloud of smoke went up, right up in the air, 50, 60 foot in the air. The other one turned round and come.
Were you on your starboard gun?
I was on the port gun then, on my action stations.
On the B?
P1, on the B deck, yeah. And my mate, had 2 guns on there, 1 starboard, 1 port. My mate was firing starboard, and then I was watching the other plane that had gone up ahead of the ship and came straight towards us. It came head on. I was first to open fire. I was on top of the B gun. I could see my shells hitting the plane. The skipper went hard to starboard so that all the port guns could open up. They started hitting the plane. It rolled away towards one of the minesweepers and exploded on their deck. We picked up the survivors after the attack.
It sunk it.
Yeah, well, it was, more or less the next day. And it did sink that one, yeah. I'm thinking of the other one. Also, one of our minesweepers, it hit the mine that it was supposed to be sweeping and blew up. But next day, our destroyers and that sunk it, out of the way, because it was in the path of what was being cleared. At the same time, aircraft came across, our own aircraft, off carriers, which we didn't know we had at the time. They were laying across the horizon.
British carrier?
Yeah, British carrier, the Amir and another one. I can't think of it at the time. They sent planes in the shore, and they shot the place up, right? I forget the name of the place now, in Phuket Island.
Penang.
Penang, you know.
Yeah, that's that area. Isn't
that
it?
Area. They shot the railway stations up, you know, engines and planes that was on the ground, and they returned to find out that suicide planes had had a go at them, at the couriers, but they had near misses with the bombs, same as us, and they knocked them down. We lost one plane in that action, all told, because Sussex opened up on our 8-inch and gave a bombard as well, ashore. Then we, the force then returned to Trincomalee, where the plates on their ship's side were repaired, because it had bent the plates on a Marine's mess deck.
Now, what's this about? You found a bit of the pilot's.
Oh, yeah.
When was that?
That was that action. The starboard one that was shot down, he was blown to bits. I picked up something that was by my gun. It was a piece of his backbone. I flew over the side quick. I wonder what it was all coming, you know, bits of the plane coming all over the place, but it was. Backbone, yeah.
How could you recognise? I mean,
well, you would recognise a backbone, wouldn't you? It was a couple of joint bones, you know. You could see it was a spine, like. Oh, I flew it over quick.
And how long were you repairing?
I think it was in there about 4 days. It was about 3 to 4 days there, about whatever, because they only had to knock it out and rivet it up. It was, it wasn't a bad damage. And while we were there, ships were gathering all round us. There was battleships, cruisers, destroyers, everything. We heard that the atom bombs had been dropped on Japan, so we knew something was up.
That was August.
Yeah. Next day, the battleship.
Did, what did you think when you heard? I mean, people didn't know what they were then, and well, we know now. What did you think?
Well, I don't know. To this day, I went out on the upper deck night time, and the sky. To this day, I've never seen the sky like it. The sky was so many colours: orange, everything, reds. It was fascinating. Honestly. I wish I could see a picture of it now. And I thought that must have been a blast of the atom bomb. It was. It filled the sky, you know, east of us. So, it was. I mean, looking back now, it's just nearly 70 years, 60 years ago for me. I can't believe it, that sky. There's things that you never forget, you know what I mean? It's imprinted on you, your mind. Like that chap, you know, trying to get out of the ship and all that sort of thing. It's a picture there.
So what happened now? This is in August, 45.
Well, then we took, next day, the battleship Nelson, with her escorts of aircraft carriers, destroyers, left. And we didn't know where they were going at the time. We left eventually. We eventually heard from that we got... They were going up to take the surrender of the Japs in Rangoon. We left behind them with escorts and made our way through the Straits of Sumatra to lay off Singapore.
What were you doing there?
Well, we stopped there at anchor, more or less, and we met up with the CNC Eastern Fleet, an HMS Cleopatra. But the rear admiral that was put on board our ship at Trincomalee was senior. Although he was an admiral, the rear admiral took seniority on board the Sussex. In the distance, we saw a motorboat approaching. We were drawn up on the quarterdeck with the marine guards, as a guard, and up the gangway